So I, you know, got kids running in and out every day to my classroom, what I call my library. And to me, in my mind, teaching kids is, oh, that's easy. I do that every day. I can do that. Teaching adults, teaching people that have been in the Word a really long time and know a lot of stuff, it's a little more daunting to me. So I'm not exactly super comfortable being up here and expounding the scriptures, but I can stand up here and tell you and share with you what God is showing me. And if that touches your heart, then even better. I wanted to talk a little bit about choices today, because, you know, we make choices every day. Many, many choices in a day we make. And some of them are intentional choices, I'd say. And some of them we just kind of go on autopilot and do. We make on autopilot. For instance, this morning we chose to get out of bed. We chose to get in the car and come to fellowship. We could have, there were many ways to arrive here, right? We could have Ubered it, we could have called a taxi, we could have ridden a bike, we could have walked, we could have taken the bus or the trolley, but most of us chose to arrive here in a car. I got to thinking about this because I was listening to a commencement speech. It's that time of year where, you know, kids are graduating from high school and colleges and things like that. And I was listening to a commencement speech, and I don't even remember who was giving this speech. But he had said something to the effect of, you are where you are today because of the choices you have made along the way. And that is true to some degree. I believe that's true to some degree. The choices we make affect where we are and what we do. But as Christians, we know it's just not all about us and our choices and what we want and the things we decide to do. As Christians, we know that God made a choice a long time ago, and that He chose us long before we chose Him. I'm going to be reading out of the Living Bible translation today. Let me just get organized here. Okay. I'm going to be reading out of the Living Bible translation today. And because I don't have it on my phone, so I had to print it out. It doesn't have that version on my phone. I don't know why. But I saw in 1 Peter chapter 1 that God chose us a long time ago. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 out of the Living Bible says, "Dear friends, God the Father chose you long ago and knew you would become His children. And the Holy Spirit has been at work in your hearts, cleansing you with the blood of Jesus Christ and making you to please Him." Like, not making you to please Him. Like, He doesn't control us. He doesn't make us do anything. He gave us free will, right? So, He's not making us to please Him. But He made us so that, you know, He changed us so completely that we were pleasing unto Him. And you'll understand that a little more as I go along. May God bless you richly and grant you increasing freedom from all anxiety and fear. Verse 3 says, "All honor to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is His boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again, so that we are now members of God's own family. Now we live in the hope of eternal life because Christ rose again from the dead." So, our getting born again, our that whole thing wasn't an accident. It just didn't happen just because somebody spoke to us. I mean, that might be the way it happened, but it happened because God chose us a long time ago to be part of His family. Now, it's kind of cool to know that we've always been a part of God's plan. Us. You know, he's God. And he's got he's got a lot of things to do. I mean, you know, he made the heavens and the earth and the universe. And before that was formed, he chose us. He chose us. That kind of blows my mind a little bit. I mean, think about it. Think about it. We've always been a part of God's plan. I want to go to 1 Peter 2. Oh, no, wait, I did that. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 reads, "Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love." Verse 5, "His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to." He wanted to. That's why he chose us, because he wanted to. I started thinking about that. And it's because, why would he do that? Because he's God, and he wanted to. He's a God of love. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. And he wanted to choose us, and to be part of his plan. And we didn't deserve it. We all know that. I mean, we all know it's by grace. It's by God's unmerited grace that we have been brought into this family of God. There was nothing we did to deserve it. And I thought about baseball. I love baseball. And I thought about the All-Star team and about how, you know, and maybe next month people are going to start that follow baseball and are really into baseball, and you know they're going to be start thinking about who they're going to vote for the All-Star team. Because to be on the All-Star team in baseball, in Major League Baseball, I mean, you got to be really, really, really good. You know, you're just not an average pitcher. You have an incredibly low ERA. Those are the people that get selected to be on the All-Star team, right? People with pitchers with really low ERAs, batters that are on fire, hitting home runs and having a high on-base percentage and high RBIs, and it's the best of the best, because you got to be good to get in the major league. You got to be even better to get on the All-Star team. And I thought about that, and in light of choices that God made in our lives, he chose us when we were not All-Stars. I mean, he chose us. We were having a terrible year, you know. We were in a slump. We were striking out, and I know it's bad. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, I'm already there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. This is how bad we were. "You went along with the crowd and were just like all the others, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air, who is at work right now in the hearts of those who are against God, against the Lord. All of us used to be just as they are, our lives expressing the evil within us, doing every wicked thing that our passions and our evil thoughts might lead us to." "We started out bad, being born with evil natures, and were under God's anger just like everyone else. But verse 4, but God, who is so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and damned by our sins, he gave us back our lives again when he raised Christ from the dead. Only by his undeserved favor have we ever been saved, and lifted us up from the grave into glory along with Christ, where we sit with him in the heavenly realms. All because of what Christ Jesus did, not because of what we did. God chose us to be on his all-star team, in a sense. Not because we were having a great year, but because of Christ, because of what Jesus Christ did, what he sent Christ to do. That's why he chose us. I'm going to keep reading. And now God can always point to us as examples of how very, very rich his kindness is. He can point to us and our lives as a demonstration of how big his kindness is, how big his love is. As shown as he has done for all as he has done for us through Christ Jesus. I mean, to my logical mind, that absolutely makes no sense. Why would he pick me when I was dead and following my own evil thoughts and, you know, why? Because he loves us. Because of his kindness. Because of his mercy. Because of his grace. Because he knew there was absolutely nothing we could do to ever get out of the mess mankind was in without Jesus Christ. There was just nothing else. And, you know, it's about what God did and what Jesus Christ did. It's about their choice, their choices, not our performance. We never could do anything that great. Yeah. It's all about what God did. So when you think of your own life and the choices you make every day, and you make a lot of them, you can also think about the bigger picture. The bigger picture about choice is looking at the choice God made regarding us a long time ago. And that question we can ask ourselves is, how does that shape or influence the choices that we make today? How does that change us? I mean, you know, it changed us spiritually. Does it change us mentally? That's a good question. I mean, that's a question I asked myself, and I went, wow, that's a good question. Is God part of the choices we make today, especially those big, giant, huge decisions we have to make as people? Is he part of that? I mean, I can look back on my life and I can see, you know, I'm a May baby too. I'm 50 now. So I can look back on my life and I can see that the choices that I made with God involved turned out to be really great choices. You know, I was blessed. Things worked. It was awesome. And the choices I made apart from God, without God's involvement, were complete disasters. Complete disasters. And it really just comes down to, are we asking God what to do with regard to the choices we make? And are we obeying what he says to do? That's really, I saw that, you know, when it comes to choice, I mean, we're Americans. We want choice, you know, that's what, give us choice. We want choices. We want, you know, we don't want to just have to settle for one thing. We want a choice of things when we go to the grocery store and walk down that cereal aisle. There's many choices. But, you know, I just got to thinking about that, and those are silly decisions. You know, those are just very small choices we make throughout the day. Look at it from the bigger picture of Are you getting God involved with the choices you make? I'm not saying you got to ask God what cereal to buy, but you got to get God involved with the choices that you make. I speak for myself. We all need to do that. Are we asking God what to do with regard to the choices we make? And are we obeying, listening, and obeying what he says to do? Because we have free will. And we could choose to listen and obey, and we could choose not to listen and obey. We can choose to get God involved, or we can choose not to get God involved. It's really a matter of going to God and asking him, because he'll, and that sounds really, really simple, doesn't it? Well, it is. It is simple. You just go to God and ask him, Father, what do I do? Which choice should I make in this? These are my options as I see them. Show me another option if there's another one to take, or direct me to the best option for me. Get God involved. He'll direct you to what's best. He loves you. So in closing, I just wanted to encourage you to just get God involved. Don't be on autopilot. I kind of term it as autopilot. I mean, it's like, you know, sometimes we go through life or through our day, and we're just on autopilot. It becomes routine. We get up, and here's what I do. The alarm goes off, I hop right out of bed. I don't hit the snooze, I don't turn back, I hop right out of bed because it's harder for me to get up later if I don't. The longer I stay there, the more I want to stay. So I hop right, and then I go get my coffee, and I say good morning, God, and pray, and then I start getting ready for work, and it's a routine. It's routine. I'm not really thinking, hey, God, what do you want me to do today? Well, I got to go to work. Hey, God, what do you want me to do? But you can get God involved with, God, please guide and direct my steps today at work. Please help me face anything that comes my way today. God, please help me choose give me wisdom and understanding and wisdom to be able to make the best choice. Make the best decision. If you get God involved, he will jump right in and be involved and show you what the best choice is. And, once he does, it's really a good idea to obey and do it. Because, we've all been there. We've all not obeyed, and it's not so good. We got to deal with the consequences of disobedience. I mean, we teach that to our children, and we continue to live that as we're adults. Those are lessons that we learn as kids and live through as adults. There are consequences to every choice we make. And some of them are good, and some of them, when they're good decisions, they're good consequences. And when they're bad decisions, they're not so good consequences. So my encouragement is just to get God involved, and I touched a little bit on listen and obey, and I know that's what Todd wants to share on. So I'm going to close out and hand this over to my beloved.
Everybody stand up and take a little stretch break. If you want to, please.
Move if you need to.
We'll get set up for Act 2. Much cooler in the shade.
Yeah.
Cool drinks help too.
Water if anyone wants.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Everybody situated? Carmen, thanks for coming and sharing that. That was awesome. So we're going to start off in Romans, please.
So grab your
Bible or electronic device, whichever you like. And we're going to start in a very familiar verse. Perhaps your spiritual life started with this verse. It's Romans chapter 10, and it's verse 9 and verse 10. And I thought we would go to it and read it aloud so we can not miss any words, because I didn't want to miss anything. So let's get started here. Are you ready?
Are you in King James?
I'm in the King James, sorry. My Bible only comes in one version. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, you can say it, that God hath raised him from the dead, with thou shalt be saved. Continue. And believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So many of us, that was our life-saving verse, right? And when you think about Romans, I mean, that's this verse, these two verses, that's how you get saved. You get born again, right? And I'm going to just condense it down and just boil it down and basically say, that's just like chocolate. This verse is like chocolate. There's nothing else like chocolate. Amen. Nothing else tastes like chocolate. A lot of things taste like chicken, but nothing else tastes like chocolate. Can you agree?
Yes.
Even those people who do not like chocolate know chocolate is good. Right? So, I just happen to have some chocolate. This is the ultimate chocolate bar, Hershey's milk chocolate, right? Mr. Hershey himself invented this. Mr. Hershey is kind of like Jesus, because Jesus, you know, is the way to salvation, right? This is like chocolate. This is the best. Nothing else is better than chocolate. So think about that. You know, we're born again, and we've got this gift of Holy Spirit, and we've got this package, right? This gift of Holy Spirit package. And let's go to Acts chapter 2. I want to read Acts chapter 2, how this all got started when God poured out His gift of Holy Spirit. Going the wrong way. It's different flipping a Bible than your iPhone. So when we get born again, we get this gift of the Holy Spirit. And it was first available right here in Acts chapter 2. And it says in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, right, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, what happened? There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's the gift of Holy Spirit. You've got this awesome thing that you have now received. You're born again. You've got Christ in you. Now you can also receive the gift of Holy Spirit. And that's just, there's a lot of parts to the gift of Holy Spirit, right? There's like 9 manifestations of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who can name them all off? There's speaking in tongues and interpretation.
Prophecy.
What else? Right, you got them. So, that's what we received when we got born again. So think of it in terms of chocolate. You think you got, you know, chocolate good. What could be better? What could possibly be better? Here's the answer. A Snickers bar. Who has had a Snickers bar? Everybody, right? This is an American classic. This is Hershey's like on steroids, because you got milk chocolate, peanuts, caramel, and nougat with the chocolate, right? That's like the gift of Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? I know it sounds kind of silly, but if anybody knows me, I like simple, easy teachings that can relate to, you know, the older folks and the younger folks. There's not too many younger folks here, I don't see. So, what else did we get when we got the gift of Holy Spirit, other than the nine manifestations? We were God's children, right? He chose us, as we just heard about. What else did we get in this Holy Spirit package? We've got eternal life. Just yell them out when you think of them.
Access to God.
We got the fruit of the Spirit. We got Christ in us. Why don't you come on up and grab this box. Pick out a card.
I get to pick out a card?
Take it with you. Sit down. Pick out a card, please.
Okay.
And there's a verse on each of these cards on some of the things that we've got now that we're born again. So maybe you should stand up and sing it, say it out kind of loud, because it's kind of... Excellent. Bob, would you like to take the next card out, please? Hold on to that card, if you would, please. And don't put them back in, because we'll hear it again. So these are some of the things that we've received. Okay?
Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Psalm 34:8, oh taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
We're going to get blessed when we trust God. Just like Shelly was talking about, we make the right choices, get God involved in the choices that we make. It's all good. It's like that Snickers bar. Who's got the next one? That's awesome. That's just a benefit that we have as a child of God. Next one, please.
John 10:10. For the thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
I think we're all interested in the abundant life, right? Absolutely. Next one, please.
2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work.
We want to have all sufficiency in everything that we do, right? That's awesome. Who's got the next one?
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new.
We are new creatures. We're not the same people we were. We may look the same on the outside, but on the inside, it's like that Snickers bar. Okay? Shelley?
Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Christ in you, that's the gift. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is there any other ones? Okay.
Like him, or you shall see him as
That's, of course, after the gathering together. We're going to be like Christ. That's what that verse is talking about. So these are just some of the benefits and things that we get with this Holy Spirit gift, right? This package. The Snickers bar, if you will, right? So we got all this stuff. You know what we got to do next? We got to go figure out and learn about all this stuff. Because we got, it's like a big box. I was going to bring a big giant box today and kind of like, I didn't have one. But think about this. So I was on a quest to learn about all these things that I've got. So I started taking classes to learn about, you know, speaking in tongues and interpreting and prophesying. How do I do that? And I started taking classes about learning all these things because I wanted to know how this stuff worked. I got this gift of the Holy Spirit. How does this work in my life? How does this work for me? So I started taking classes and seminars. I started buying books and tapes. Back there when you had tapes. Compact discs. I started making this big collection. And you know what I did after that? I bought a bookshelf to put all those books on. And then you know what else I did after that? I went to another seminar and another teaching and another and another and another. And then I found out I needed another bookshelf. And one day I was sitting back in my office and I was admiring all that stuff I had. I'm like, wow, I need another bookshelf. So I got on the bookshelf. And then I found out that I was kind of like, look at all my stuff. And I thought, there's some books I haven't even finished reading yet. I'll be honest with you. And I kind of like felt a little bad. But my point is, I got to the point where it's like, getting all the stuff was more important than doing it. You know what I mean? That's just how I felt. So I'd like to offer you two simple suggestions that Shelley touched on. Would be listen and obey. Because I think if we can get those two things down perfectly, not that we get them perfect, but you know, we just become experts at listening, you know, recognizing God's voice and carrying out the things that He asked us to do. You know, in Acts, that's what they did. They heard the word and they acted on it. That's why they call it Acts. So let's just take a look at a couple of quick guys here that did that. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Acts 3, 1 through 8. This is about Peter and John. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Oh, that's not how I said it. The ninth hour of prayer. Okay, verse 2. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid at the gate daily. I can't even read today. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now we read this verse perhaps many times, but I want you to think about the mechanics of Peter and John. This is not the first time they've seen that guy there, right? Because it says he was there daily. And I'm sure Peter and John wasn't, you know, their first visit to the synagogue that day, right? They go there often. So think about the mechanics of that. They're walking in, they see this guy. Think about the gift of the Holy Spirit, all the different parts of it. Specifically, you know, healing, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You think some of those things were in operation when they walked there over and saw that guy? Absolutely. You think they asked God what to do? Or you think maybe God just said, hey, go heal that guy there. It's his time. He's going to believe. And you're not going to believe what's going to happen because get ready. Maybe God said that. So that offers us a choice, like Shelly was talking about. What are you going to do? I don't have time to do that right now. I got to go do whatever. I mean, is that our attitude? It wasn't theirs. Did they get an outstanding result? Absolutely. It's like two Snickers bars, right? Let's look at one more. Go to chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. This is talking about Philip, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem and enter Gaza, which is a desert. And what did he do? Verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come unto Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. And what was he doing? He was reading the Bible. He was reading Isaiah, the prophet. So he went. And here's what happened. Verse 29. When the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest what thou readest? He asked him. And he goes on from there. But my point is, when God told him to go do something, he went and did it. When he said, go to that chariot, he ran over there. He didn't go there tomorrow. He went there right away. You know, we want to be experts at recognizing God's voice. And we want to be really, 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 really good at obeying when God asks us to do something. And God's got stuff for us to do. It's not like we got born again and we're just waiting for that day to arrive when the trumpets are sounding and then we get out of our seat and, all right, it's time. Showtime. There's things that God needs us to do. And some of those things are only things you can do, Bob. They're only some of the things that Shelly can do. Nobody else can do them but you, because you have what it takes to do that specific thing God's asking you to do. That's just the simple truth of it. You know, if God gave you a pin, got a pin here, and you got this pin, and you know it's a really nice blue color. It's my favorite color. And this pin writes so nice. It's like smooth. It doesn't like stop and start. It's got one continuous flow. It feels really good in my hands. Like just grips it really well. But if I never did anything with that pin, what use would it be? If God gave you a pin, he might ask you to write a letter to Bob thanking him for his wonderful, matchless service to the body of Christ in San Diego, and that how you are just so blessed with his faithfulness day in, day out. He might ask you to write something with that pen, and it might be something like that. Or he might ask you to write a check to someone who needs some money because of whatever reason, you know, because certainly God has blessed you with so much. Not for you, it's perhaps for somebody else. He might ask you to take that pen and do something like that. You know? He gave us all this stuff for a reason. All this, those verses that we heard, all those things, it's not to look at it and see it stacked up on the shelf. It's for a reason. Right? God didn't just give us all this stuff just so we could admire it and enjoy it. We can, but there's more to it. So, we got a lot of stuff. We've been blessed with a lot of stuff. And, you know, this is like Acts Now Fellowship. So, let's start acting. We've got the stuff. And I'm just going to encourage everyone to be really, really good at recognizing the voice of God. Not only, you know, in the revelation part of it, but we got to recognize this is God's will too, to us. Right? And we want to be really good at obeying God. God loves his kids when we obey. I love it when Gabe obeys. God must really love it when we obey. You know, when Gabe obeys, that makes me feel so good. You know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to give Gabe more stuff. It really does. I think maybe God's the same way. I don't know. I'm guessing, but probably. So that's my encouragement today, is just to do two things. Listen really, really good, and let's do our best at obeying God. His written word and his revealed word to us, you know, by revelation. All right? Amen? Yeah.